Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Makings of D Rose. I am D Rose, author and entrepreneur. And first, I just want to say that when I created this podcast, I did not expect to take such a long break, but I had a lot going on and my podcast wasn't really a priority. However, I am back with a new episode and there will be many more episodes after this, and it won't be damn near a year in between. But today I wanted to talk to you guys about Songs in the Key of Love, Love on Repeat spinoff. This is my post-release thoughts because I didn't do a pre-release thoughts. And trust me, there are a lot of thoughts. So let's get into it. So in 2020, I released Love on Repeat, which follows JL and Royal, two people who love music, who bond through music, and it's like an instant attraction. It's a very light, low angst romance. If you haven't read it, I mean, I'm biased, but I definitely think you should check it out. It's one of my favorites, it'll always be one of my favorites. So in that story, Rosé Marie is introduced as Royal's friend, and also they're working on her album together. So that's the reason why he spent so much time in Yael's record store. He's like trying to find music, inspiration. He's doing the production for her. So we meet Rosé Marie. And initially when I wrote Love on Repeat, I didn't really have any plans to write a story about her, but she appeared in a few more projects after that. I want to say we talk about her in Take You Down and On Love's Time. She's like brought up here and there. It's just someone in the industry that everyone, you know, likes and wants to work with, whatever. Last year, 2021, I finally decided that I was ready to start her story. In 2021, I struggled a lot with writing because I had a lot of personal things going on. My grandmother was sick and unfortunately she passed away. I moved to a new state and just a lot of life changes happening at once. So around the time that I started Songs in the Key of Love is when my grandmother's health really took like a turn for the worse. And it was just hard to write. So I couldn't really get in that creative space. So I just shelved the book. I think I had probably written like 5 or 6 chapters. And I was like, I couldn't get into the story the way that I needed to like get into it. So I just kind of shelved it for a bit. And then, you know, shortly after that, she passed away. So then, you know, anyone has ever lost a loved one, you know how hard grief is. So that was a whole thing in itself. And then around the time I was ready to pick up where I left off, which was, I want to say February 2022 this year, I lost another loved one, my uncle, who was like a father figure to me. And while I was already back into writing it, so I just used the grief that I was experiencing and just put it in the story. Like, I just used all of that emotion, the hurt, whatever, and I just used writing as a way to get through it, which is something that writing has always been for me, a way to escape, a way to decompress, a way to just lose myself and not focus on what's going on in my present life. So I finished Songs in the Key of Love in March, I think. So I finished Songs in the Key of Love and, you know, I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud that I stuck through it, wrote it. It's a really good story. I'm proud of my growth as a writer, like just from reading Love on Repeat and reading Songs in the Key of Love. Like, there's so much growth in my writing that I hadn't realized until recently. And I just love this story so much. Just a little background without giving any spoilers for anyone who, you know, hasn't read the book yet. It's about Rosé Marie. Her real name is Isla Peters. She is burnt out from her last album, you know, doing tours, award shows, press, like just doing all of that. She's burnt out. She is having trouble with figuring out her next album, which I could relate to a lot because most of last year and the beginning of this year, like, I was having a hard time writing. So I understood the burnout. So She goes on a vacation to a private island. This private island is called Paradise. And in my mind, the way I conceptualize Paradise is it's an island like off the coast of the DR, Dominican Republic. So it's like a private island that celebrities and wealthy people can go to just unplug, get away. The island has everything that anyone would ever need to be on a vacation. There is a lively part of the island where you can go if you're just trying to turn up, party, whatever. And then there is a more secluded, low-key, relax, relate, release part of the island. And that is where Isla goes for about 2 months. And while she's there, she meets songwriter, the Grammy Award-winning songwriter, Kendrick Davis, who is in Paradise trying to come to terms with the loss of his father, which is something that I could relate to. Because again, like I said, I had just lost my grandmother and then I lost my uncle. So that I related to a lot. So they are on this private island. They are away from everyone and everything that they know. And they're just basically trying to find themselves. So they meet and it's not like an instant attraction, but they meet and they realize like, you know, like maybe we can hang out. Maybe we can record, write, whatever. And in that process, they help each other realize, you know, some harsh truths about themselves. And they get through the dark moments in their lives. And ultimately, they open their heart to love again, which is something that I think both of them didn't realize was something that they, you know, missed, that they wanted or needed. I love these characters so much. Isla is so determined and so smart, and I feel like she didn't give herself enough credit in the beginning. Or like even when it came to relationships, you know, she always just felt like she had to put her career first. And like, I get it, especially like women in the industry, you don't really get as much grace as some men do. So I applaud her for realizing that you can have it all. And, you know, you don't have to choose. You don't have to sacrifice a part of yourself to, you know, thrive in your career. And Kendrick's also has a realization of his own. I don't really want to talk about it too much because it's kind of a spoiler. But he comes to Paradise thinking one thing about his previous relationship and like the last year of his life. And by the time that he leaves, he sees things a little bit more clear. And you know, sometimes when you're in your shit, you don't really see, you know, how other people are affected or like what you could have done better. And you know, that was Kendrick's, that was his character growth and development toward the end of the story. Both of them, their development and growth in the story is so commendable. They may be like in my top three favorite couples. I have to go back and look at my mental list. But I really enjoyed them. I enjoyed all the moments they spent together getting to know each other and realizing things about themselves along the way. There are so many adorable scenes between Isla and Kendrick's. My favorite would have to be the day that they spend on the yacht. They spend time writing and just getting to know each other better. Kendrick's uses this as a way to help her open up in her music. And in turn, they opened up to each other. And I think that is where you can like kind of see their relationship, like when it hits that point where you're like, you guys just need to be together. So that's one of my favorite scenes. I enjoyed writing the lyrics to the songs that they wrote for each other. I thought it was super cute. And I thought it was like a unique way to show intimacy between them. Because at certain points, they wouldn't say, you know, I'm falling for you, or I like you this way, or you've helped me open up in this way. They would just kind of like write a verse and the other person would see it. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is how you feel. And I thought that was super cute. But there are so many moments in this book. I hope that you all, you know, notice these things and like the little seeds, the little nuggets between them. It's just really sweet. And I will say the songwriting, it was fun to do. And I enjoyed using the songwriting as a way to show their connection. I will say this is a bit of a slow burn. There is no rush in this book. I feel like I had to take my time with peeling back the layers of these characters, and as well as developing their relationship, because they were two people who were guarded. So if the story would have gone any faster, or if anything different happened, I don't think it would have come together the way it did. This is one of the longest projects I've ever written, I will say. I'm proud of that, because at one point I didn't think I would ever be able to write a lengthy project, because at the time I was only like, I could only hit to like 40,000-45,000, and I'm like, when will I ever get to 50,000-70,000? And Songs in the Key of Love is close to 70,000 words, so I'm super proud of that. And it doesn't feel like a story that's just dragging, at least not to me, but again, I'm biased. It doesn't feel like a story that is just taking forever. It's like the pacing is chef's kiss. Like, I just, if you haven't read it, like, you have to see it for yourself. But again, like, I'm really proud of this work. I'm really proud of their story. You know, as I read over the story, you know, there were things that I'd forgotten that happened, things I forgot they said. And I was like, I was swooning a little bit. I won't hold you. I was swooning. If you haven't read Songs in the Key of Love, I highly recommend it. I don't know. Again, I'm biased. But Kendricks and Isla, they're super sweet. Their ending is super sweet. I think that we might hear from them in the future, not in another book solely about them, but in future projects we may, you know, hear from them, or I may do a character update, who knows. But it won't be anytime soon, because the book just came out, so there is no need for a character update so soon. But I really enjoy the book. I enjoy the appearances. So I name drop a lot in this book. So of course Royal and Yael are in the story. Mecca, I believe I mentioned Mecca. Ogun from Take You Down. If you've read On Love's Time, which follows Mecca's manager and best friend Puma, then you've heard of the duo that he manages, Fame and Fortune. And Fame and Fortune are also in this story. In Love on Repeat, I mentioned a singer by the name of Sage and a songwriter by the name of Saeed. Saeed is in Songs in the Key of Love, and Sage is mentioned in Songs in the Key of Love. I mentioned the Hidden Lake series that I did with Shanice Lola and Asia Monique. What else? I think that's all the name drops from this book. But again, like, I love being able to intertwine all these worlds and all these characters. And it just makes it seem more real. It just makes it all the more real for me. So again, if you haven't read Songs in the Key of Love, I highly advise it. I highly recommend it. Love on Repeat, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend that you guys read both of these books, honestly. And then when you're done, if you haven't read Because of Love, which is Mecca's story, Take You Down, Ogun's story, the Hidden Lake series, I suggest you guys read all of that. And as far as my next project, I'm heading back to Roseville. I haven't been there in, I want to say, close to 3 years now. And I'm super excited to get back into the small town romance. I have great things in store for Roseville. And the characters, I'm like already in love with them. If you've read Ready for Love, Summer, and Ryder's story, then you are familiar with Nadir, who is the owner of Ray's, the lounge where the open mic nights occur. Nadir is Summer's like childhood best friend. So this is his story with his love interest. So if you haven't read the Roseville series, I suggest adding that to your TBR, because the third book is coming soon.